From the text which was read a while ago, I would like to read one verse from the 119th Psalm, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. A number of years ago, I read a book entitled Attitudes and Consequences. This particular book basically was a history of the restoration movement in the United States and the attitudes toward Scripture which led to that great movement. But it also chronicled a change in attitudes which led ultimately to great division within the movement. Here, my friends, is a simple and profound fact. Attitudes have consequences. Now, it's true that many of the consequences of our attitudes are of no great moment. They cause us no particular problem. And yet there are those attitudes leading to consequences which severely impact our lives, which can cause the rupture of relationships and even a loss of our eternal life in heaven. This morning I would like to consider the attitude that is expressed in verse 97 of the 119th Psalm with the various consequences which come from that attitude. But let's begin with just a hurried review of some potential attitudes toward the Word of God. For example, there is the attitude which says, I just do not believe what the Bible says. The consequence of that attitude is a life with no immovable foundations. There is the attitude which says, I know that's what the Bible says, but... And that leads to the consequence of a life that is bound by prejudice, no matter what truth may be. Then there are those who might say, in an attitude, I just don't believe the Bible is relevant today. Therefore, the consequence is that I live my life under no authority of the Word of God. Then some might express an attitude like this. I just do not believe that we can see the Bible alike. Well, the consequence of that attitude is an enormous division among religious people. Then there are those who say, in an attitude, well, that's just your interpretation of the Bible. And the resulting consequence is, then, a belief that the Bible is going to say different things to different people, but not the same thing to all people. But look at the attitude that is expressed in the first verse that we read in this section of the 119th Psalm. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Look at 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. The attitude here, my friends, is an attitude of love for and great appreciation for the Word of God. And this kind of attitude toward the Scriptures is doubtless going to lead to very positive consequences in an individual's life. But I need also to say this. The attitude that is expressed here and this great and deep love for the Word of God presupposes a communion with the Word of God. Notice he says, "It is my meditation all the day." The psalmist is concerned that people understand that he has spent great time in study and meditation upon the Word of God. And the result of that is this great love that he has for God's Word. And my question to all of us this morning is this: how deep is your love for the Word of God? Or, on the other hand, do you only give the Word of God a passing notice in your life? Which? With that attitude, the psalmist in this section of the 119th chapter of the book of Psalms notes some of the consequences which have occurred in his life. For example, he says in verse 102, "For thou hast taught me." One of the consequences is that the Word of God has become his teacher. Now remember, he has admitted that he meditates upon the Word of God all the day. When we give that kind of time to a consideration of the Scriptures, my friends, they will teach us. The problem for many of us, however, is we're not willing to commit that time. We give lip service to a love for the Word of God, but the communion part that is so necessary is just not there. Therefore, sketchily, we can remember something about the Word of God, but it really cannot be our teacher because we do not know that which it teaches. In Romans, the 12th chapter, at verse 2, the Bible explains this to us. It explains what is going to happen in the life of a person who loves the Word of God, who has a deep appreciation for the Word of God, and who, because of that love for and appreciation for the Word of God, is taught by it. Listen to what the verse says. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God." What is going to happen in the life of a person who is taught by the Word of God? There is going to be a transformation. There is going to be a dramatic change in that person's life as he is molded by that which the Word of God teaches. But a second consequence to which the psalmist makes reference is the consequence of wisdom. Look at verse 98 of the 119th Psalm. "Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me." Wisdom. The Word of God speaks to the day-to-day affairs of life. All of the debates, all of the controversies, all of the uncertainties about the daily affairs of life resolve in the wisdom of the Word of God. Turning your Bibles to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, at verses 9 and 10, and listen to what the apostle writes concerning the wisdom of God. "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The progression is very simple. He writes of our being filled with the knowledge of His Word, which leads necessarily then to wisdom, which leads then to our walking in a way that is pleasing to God. That's what happens when the Word of God is our teacher. One of the results is going to be the wisdom that it takes to deal with day-to-day affairs of life. And that wisdom addresses matters both moral and spiritual. But notice in the passage that I have just read from the 119th Psalm, the expression in the last part of the verse, "For they are ever with me." The commandments of God, which have made him wiser than his enemies, he says, are ever with me. Not just on occasion do I remember that which I've been taught with the Word of God. No. That which he has been taught, that which he has been learning through communion with the Word of God is ever with him. Always with him. Governing and shaping his life. But another of the consequences of the great love and deep appreciation he has for the Word of God is that he is a man of more understanding than his teachers and the ancients. Verses 99 and 100, "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts." You know, I may not have the great knowledge of math and science and geography and philosophy that my teachers had, that the ancients had, but because of my deep love for and appreciation for the Word of God, I have a greater enlightenment than they have. For the understanding that is here, the understanding he has, refers to enlightenment, to discernment and such. And so while there may be those, and I'm sure are, it wouldn't take much, for there to be many who have more knowledge than I have of these things I mentioned, math and science and such, the fact that I have the kind of love and appreciation I do for the Word of God gives me a greater enlightenment than such as those have. And this understanding, as already I've mentioned, this understanding speaks to the day-to-day affairs of ordinary life. This is not something that is ethereal. This is something that is earthly. And determines the way that we live, that we decide every single moment of our lives, every single day of our lives. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, to chapter 4. And I want you to read verses 17 through 19 with me, because here you see the opposite of what happens when a person, the opposite of that person who has this love and appreciation for the Word of God, the opposite of that person who has his understanding darkened. I want you to see what it leads to. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened." Now, what was it the psalmist said? I have greater understanding because of the Word of God in my life. I have greater understanding than all of my teachers, than the ancients had. But the apostle now writes of people who have the understanding darkened. Look where it goes. "Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's what happens when this understanding, because of the Word of God, is not in us. We do not possess it. People become amoral, immoral, sensual, lascivious, given over every kind of sinful behavior. But the bottom line is they are alienated from God without this understanding that comes only through the possession of the Word of God in our lives. But look at verse 101 of the 119th Psalm, and you will see another consequence. The consequence here is he abstained from sin. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Surely, a person who has a great or a deep appreciation for the Word of God is going to be led to live a more disciplined life. He is going to be able to identify sin, for one thing, and he is going to be able to refrain from it for another. Reverence for God and respect for His Word must lead in this direction, the direction of a disciplined life. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, at verse 22, the Bible says simply this, and it is in the imperative mode, abstain from every appearance of evil. Now, folks, I submit to you this. If we do not have the attitude that is expressed in verses 97 and 103 of the 119th Psalm, it is going to be very difficult for us to observe and keep this imperative, abstain from every appearance of evil. In fact, I would go further to say, likely, it is going to be impossible for us to submit to that imperative if we do not have the attitude the psalmist expressed in verse 97 and verse 103. But there's another consequence. And the consequence I simply call constancy. In verse 102 of the 119th Psalm, the psalmist writes, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. I have not departed. In Matthew 10, at verse 22, our Lord says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Constancy in discipleship. I've often wondered if constancy may not be one of the most difficult of all traits of discipleship. Sticking with it to the end. Not vacillating. Being today what I will be tomorrow and the next day, governed by the Word of God and constant in my discipleship. May I suggest to you that if in your life you consider that you are having constancy problems in your relationship with the Lord, it may well be because of some defect in your attitude for His Word. I have not departed from Thy judgments. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Constancy. But the last of the consequences that I want to mention is this one. The last part of verse 104. Therefore I hate every false way. His great love for the Word of God, His deep appreciation for the Word of God, could not help but lead Him to this consequence. Therefore, I hate every false way. Now let me hurry to add, this is not a hatred of people who are in error. It is, on the other hand, a hatred of the error which is leading these people away from truth and salvation. One who has that kind of love and appreciation for the Word of God cannot help but hate the error and yet love the person who is in sin. Love him to the extent that he would do everything that he could do within human power to help that person into the truth. I'd also suggest to you that this hatred of every false way might include the hatred of the deception of sin, which has the power to make sin so attractive and so powerful in our lives. One who has a great love for the Word of God, a deep appreciation for it, can make no compromise with a viewpoint, a belief, a behavior that is contrary to the Word of God. My sweet friends, the truth of the Word of God is not negotiable. And if we have the kind of love and appreciation for it we should have, the consequence is going to be we hate every false way. So the question is, this morning, this very morning, what are the consequences that you see in your life as a result of your attitude toward the Word of God? What are they? Now, folks, this question needs to be answered, and needs to be answered honestly. It's very easy for us to play church. When I was a little boy, I had a sister and a neighbor girl with whom we played church. It won't surprise you to know that I was the preacher. I was the song leader. I passed the communion, and the girls were in subjection. Only momentarily. But we played church. And it was instructive because we were emulating those things that we saw on the Lord's Day and among the people who were our friends, the friends of our family. But playing church on my uncle's front porch was just that. It was playing. They're folks who have not grown up when it comes to the Lord's church. They're still playing church. Because the attitude they have toward the Word of God is defective, and they're just going through the motions of the Christian life. So I ask it again. What are the consequences which you're able to see in your own life because of your attitude toward the Word of God? This question needs to be asked and answered often. And the answer to it has eternal ramifications. Attitudes and consequences. Perhaps there are those in this assembly this morning whose love for the Word of God is leading them in the path of obedience. Having studied the Word of God, you realize that belief in Jesus Christ to be the Son of God is absolutely essential if you're going to have a right relationship with God. And then as you've studied, you've come to realize that, well, that's not quite enough. There has to be repentance, and repentance is a change of mind which leads dramatically to a change of life, but it involves a sorrow for sin and that determination to turn away from the life one has lived and turn toward the life that is revealed in the Word of God. But you realize, as you study the Word of God, that isn't enough. Believing, penitent people confessed their faith in Jesus Christ as you read the Scriptures. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And surely that's enough. But as you've read and you've studied, you realize, whoa, wait just a minute. That's important. That's part of the process. That's part of what leads me into Christ. But what do Scriptures say about baptism? Oh, so critical, so important. And as a study, I begin to realize that the Bible tells me that it is in baptism that my sins are forgiven. Not before. It is in baptism that I am admitted into the family of God. Not before. It is in baptism that I am saved. Not before. It is in baptism that my sins are remitted. Not before. And as I begin to realize this, I understand why it is that in Acts 2 at verse 37, people who realized that they crucified the Son of God asked, what must we do? That answer, question, the answer came, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. That's why. Because it is in baptism that the believing, penitent person who has confessed the name of Jesus Christ will receive from God the cleansing of his sins. Not before. Now, an attitude of love and respect and appreciation for the Scriptures leads that person to say, whatever the Scriptures teach, that's what I must do. I understand about the prejudices of a past life. I understand about the beliefs that I've held in times past, but they were not based as they should have been in the Word of God. Now, what is my attitude? I accept whatever it is the Scriptures teach. There may be people here this morning needing to be baptized for the remission of their sins, and we would invite you to make the decision to do that if that is indeed your need. You would be buried in water for the remission of your sins. There may be Christian people who are here this morning whose attitude toward the Word of God is skewed and inadequate. And there may be many reasons for that. And I'm not judging anyone. All I'm saying is, don't let that condition persist. Don't come to the place in your life where it's too late to make the change And by the way, Scripture teaches that you can come to that place where no longer are you willing to change. If you need to repent of that behavior, do so and ask God's forgiveness. If you need the prayers of brothers and sisters, we'd be glad to pray with you. But remember, the consequences of your behavior rest in your attitude toward God and toward His Word. If you need to come, you may come now while we stand together and while we sing.